we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to a wonderful Wednesday in Brevard County, Florida. My name's Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God and have done so for a long time now. There was a much younger man that pastored there when I first came. I was in my 30s and now I'm not. But we have a vintage service today at 11 a.m. Want to invite you to that. We are showing a video today. It's called Israel Through the Looking Glass. And, we would love for you to come and be a part of that. We're going to sing a couple of songs and then get into the video. So if you are like me, I've not been to Israel. I was in conversation here with someone not too long ago, and they talked about their recent visit to Israel and just how overwhelmed they were and with the awe and the beauty of it and just to be in the presence of God is what they described. They said, man, when I went here, I just sensed the presence of God. Now, the good news for all of us is that God is omnipresent. So he is available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And in 2016, 366 days a year. He is available all the time. And so if you would like to come and experience that video with us today, it's not our typical vintage service, but we would love to have you come and be a part of that. We do want to give a shout out today and say thank you to Wyrick Air Heat and Electrical. And they are based right here in Central Florida. They go throughout the county, and they just do a wonderful job of taking care of all of the needs that you may have. So whether it's air conditioning, I don't know that you're going to need the heat a whole lot more for the next several months, but if you have electrical issues, don't let those things go. There are some problems that do not solve themselves when just left to their own devices. Electrical problems don't just go away. You need some, if you do not know how to address the problem, you need to call an electrician and get them to come out and take care of that. You don't want anything tragic to happen there. And so don't just ignore those electrical issues. Get them dealt with, get them fixed, and enjoy the peace of mind that comes from that. Their phone number, once again, 632-9538, 632-9538. So we're talking about Keturah and her kids, the wife of Abraham after Sarah had died. And we've spent a few days talking about a couple of kids whose names meant strife and contention. I mean, you will not get many amens when you are preaching on strife and contention. I'm just telling you, I'm saying that out of theory, but I'm actually saying that out of experience. When you start addressing those subjects, by the way, let me just say one more thing since it's coming to mind as I'm sitting here. Don't allow unforgiveness to reside in your heart. It is not worth it. What happens is unforgiveness becomes bitterness. It becomes a hostility, and you don't want that. And the thing is if we do not practice forgiveness in the area that we are empowered and required by God to forgive, he says, then that is the same measure that I will use when I hold you accountable. And so I ask you, which measuring cup do you want him to use in your life today? Do you want him to use the great big bountiful cup of forgiveness, or do you want him to use the cup of unforgiveness? I want forgiveness. I really do. And so, you know, if people have treated you bad, I'm not telling you that that's pleasant. I'm not telling you that it's fun to deal with, but I can tell you this: don't let it control your destiny. Grant them forgiveness, even if they haven't repented. You know, just come to that place in your heart and say, God, I forgive them. Now, here's what will happen. If you tell them you forgive them before they've repented, they're going to say something like this: well, what have I done that I need to forgive? You're the one. They're going to look at you as if you're the problem. And so what I encourage you to do is come before God and say, God, I forgive this brother. I forgive this sister in the name of Jesus. And God, I'm going to pray for them that you will do whatever is necessary that we might be reconciled in Jesus' name. And so a lot of times, little bitty stupid things. We tend to think of strife and discord coming through great big monumental things. But I'm telling you, I have seen a lot of times that it is the little foxes that spoil the vines, as I believe it's the Song of Solomon says. And it is the little bitty things, a little wedge here, a little wedge there, a grain here, a grain there, and pretty soon you have this great big divide. I believe that couples in their relationship, it is not large things that causes the relationship to break down, but it is little things that build up over time. So don't allow those things to build up. So we've spent a couple of programs on strife and discord already. I don't want to stick with that. But let's move on to kid number five, can we? Abraham was more productive after God resurrected his physical capabilities than he was beforehand. And so I think that is a really great thing for us to believe, is that Jesus, our resurrection and life, he is able to cause us more productive. Maybe you're like me. I happen to be in my 50s, and because he is the resurrection and the life, I can be more productive for the King in my latter years than I was in my earlier years. Even though I don't have the strength and the stamina that I used to have, I can be more effective because of who he is. And so, no matter what your age, it is not too late, but you don't want to procrastinate. You want to ask God to empower you right now to be effective. And so get the strife out, get the discord out, get any false pretense out of your life, get any vainglory out of your life, and prepare for God to do great and mighty things. Now, this next one, in Genesis chapter 25, as you go looking and reading through those names there in verse number 3, let me just read the first 3 verses. Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Ishbak and Shua. And so, like I've told you before, these names in Old Testament especially, they were names that was given to the destiny of the child. It wasn't just about what sounded good or was mom's name or grandma's name or Uncle John's name or whatever. It was what their destiny was. It was naming what they were going to be. And Ishbak means he will leave. It speaks of abandonment. Abandonment. And if we ever have a problem in America right now, it is in this area of people just walking away. You know, I'm old enough to remember when, if you had a television that it quit working, you got it repaired, because it was less expensive to get it repaired than it was to get a new one. Now, I will also tell you this. Back in those days, they came in beautiful encased in beautiful pieces of furniture that if you could find one today would be worth a great deal of money. But back, you know, as technology was coming along, we thought, wow, we don't need this anymore. Let's throw this out. And what would, I mean, I look back at some cars and some things that my parents and grandparents have had and said, man, that would be worth more today than it was brand new. But we used to repair things. If things were broke, you fixed them. But we have become a disposable society to where things are no longer worth repairing. I remember we had a washing machine. This wasn't that long ago. And the washing machine quit working, and I called a repairman out, and it cost $75 or $80 to have him come out. And he said, honestly, he said, I can fix this, but it would be a better use of your financial resources to go out and buy another washing machine than it would be for me to repair this. He said, basically what you have is something that is disposable or at best recyclable. And so that's one thing when you're talking about televisions. It's one thing when you're talking about washing machines. But that same disposable mindset has now progressed into the realm of relationships where, you know, well, if things aren't going the way that I want them to, if I'm not happy here, I will just walk away. I was having a conversation with the pastor that I worked for in Texas, and he said one of the lies that society has perpetuated upon our current generation is that living together is the same as being married. And he said, nothing could be further from the truth, because marriage is a covenant. And, you know, I know that there's a huge divorce rate, but I will tell you that we have been sold a lie for many years that in the past couple of years, people have studied and said, you know what, that statistic that was quoted is actually not accurate. The statistic used to say that 50% of marriages ended in divorce, and the same percentage of marriages inside the church end in divorce. These people went back and they studied the number, and they found that people who were actually worshiping together and serving together was a fraction of the amount of the overall divorce rate of the population, and even it was lower than what they were proclaiming. You see, you weren't meant to be in disposable relationships. You were meant to walk in covenant relationships like Isaac, not in relationships with just people who are gifted for a season. There are some roads that we traveled while we were on vacation. And you would see a sign, and it would have a highway number, and then you would travel a little bit further, and then it would have that highway number and a different highway number on it. And then after a while, you would see that it would be back to just the one number. You see, there were two highways that they merged together for a season, but when they got to a certain point in the destination, they weren't meant, they weren't designed. The engineers had never planned that they were in this thing for the long haul. It was just a merging. And so there are a lot of times where people see that they're at a certain interchange in life, a certain intersection, and they think, man, we're both going the same direction. We're both on the same path. And they think that they're going together and it's all going to be well and good until they get a little further down the road and find out one's value system is completely and entirely different than the other value system. And they're not going in the same direction. They're going a different way, and they throw up their hands and say, what in the world are we doing together? And they dispose of the relationship. Ishbak means he will leave. It means abandonment. We have huge numbers of kids who are growing up without one of the influences in their lives. Fatherlessness is a major, major deficit here in America. Listen, and that pause is intentional. Kids need their dads. Kids need godly role models. Guys, you are not meant just to park yourself in front of a television, drink yourself into incoherency, and just can just be a sluggard around the house. You were meant for more than that. You were meant to be one who fashions your children and sets them on the path so that when God sends them forth, that they fly true. Train up your children in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. And so I want you to know that you're not supposed to cut and run. This pastor said there's people who say, well, if it doesn't work out, we'll just move on and that's it. I want you to know God wants you to walk in covenant relationship, and that's where we're going with this study, moving from just gifted people to people who will be with you when things are going well. They will be with you when things are not going well. If we truly believe that God will never leave us and never forsake us, then we as Christians should also work to develop that same mindset that says, look, I am going to stand before God as one that, to quote an old movie, I didn't leave my wingman. I stayed. I watched over them. I was there. I was committed to them. And I did not abandon them. The pastor that I served in Texas that I was just talking about had just buried his wife a couple of weeks before I got there. We had hoped that we would be able to get there to see her. But she led worship on a Sunday morning, and she had been sick for quite some time, but she never missed a Sunday service and led worship, and she got there, and she died on a Friday, and the funeral was very quick. It was on a Monday afterwards, and the pastor said this, and I've never heard this before. It brought me to tears right there in the restaurant, and he said that at the end of the memorial service, where they had celebrated the impact she had made on female prisoners, and they had celebrated the impact that she had made on people's lives through the food bank, and she had impacted lives through a missions trip to Africa, and there were about five different things that they highlighted during that season in her life. I know she made an impact as a wife and a mother, as an ordained minister, and they celebrated all that, and it was coming time for the end of the service, and the husband looked down and he said, this is our last date together, and we've got a bunch of people here who are here to watch us on our last date. They'd been married, I believe it was 48 years when she passed away. The church, they had dated for 2 years before, and they knew that she was ill and that she probably was not going to make it to their 50th anniversary. And so they threw them a 50th anniversary celebration to celebrate the time that they had been dating. They had dated and been married for 50 years. 48 years they walked in covenant. And there are some people that when you get sick, they will walk away from you. They will abandon you. If the things don't go out well, don't go well economically, they will walk away from you. They will abandon you. And I don't believe that that should be known in the body of Christ. I believe that we ought to be there through thick and thin. I heard a story here not too long ago. It was about a man, and he was running a little bit late one day, and he was, I don't remember if he was at a restaurant or if he was getting a haircut or whatever, but he was, he kept looking at his watch and was very anxious. And the person said, are you in a hurry? And he said, well, I need to get to the nursing home. I have breakfast with my wife every morning, and I'm running a little bit late. And she said, oh, will she be expecting you? And he said, no, she hasn't recognized me for quite some time. She doesn't know who I am. And the person said, well, if she doesn't know who you are, why are you in such a hurry? And he said, because I know who she is. And folks, I want you to know God knows who you are. And he's not going to leave you, and he's not going to forsake you. Whenever I encounter a person who tells me that their spouse has abandoned them and walked out on them, my response is always the same. I say, I'm so sorry. If it's a man, I apologize, because men should not be abandoning their post. Nobody likes to be walked out. I know of situations where wives have walked out on their husbands and walked out on their kids. And if that has happened to you, I am sorry, but I want to tell you that there is healing in Jesus Christ. There is a great ministry that is that takes place in New York City. It reaches thousands and thousands of kids. And the person who started that ministry was a person who mother left him on a street corner and said, don't leave here until I come back. That was here in Florida, over in St. Petersburg. His mother left him there on the street corner, and a pastor came by and noticed him, and that child stayed there for a few days, and a pastor came along and trained that young man up to love young people, to love Jesus, and he went on to found a great ministry. You see, he had been abandoned by his mother, but he wasn't abandoned by God. Today, I want you to know that God is still in the business of watching over the widows and the orphans. If everybody else has abandoned you, Jesus never will. When Jesus preached a very difficult message of a very large crowd of thousands and thousands of people, they all turned and walked away, and only Jesus and the 12 were left. And he turned around and he looked at them and he said, will you also leave? Are you going to abandon me also? And the disciples looked at him and said, where else could we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. You alone have the words of eternal life. And I want you to know that in my relationship with Jesus, I've come too far to go anywhere else. I've recognized that he is the source of life. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. There's no other place to turn. I want to take you to the book of Jude, because there's a very interesting passage there. I don't talk about it a whole lot. But in Jude, verse number 6, there's only one chapter, 25 verses, and it says this, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. What it describes there is that God had provided for these angels a place for them to dwell, a position of authority, and they chose not to abide there. They chose to abandon that, hoping to achieve something greater, something better. You see, there was a lack of contentment inside of them. They aspired for something that God had not created them to have. And as a result of that, they abandoned the position he had given them. And it said that the end result was they ended up being in the darkest darkness you could ever imagine. And they are kept in that state for all of eternity. Folks, if you have abandoned someone, I don't imagine there's a really good feeling about that. You may be able to run, you might be trying to hide, but I want you to know that God knows everything that has gone on, and he's chasing after you. I want you to know that if you're going through a difficult season right now, that God has not abandoned you. He is in there with you. I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where when they get down into the fire, all of a sudden, when Nebuchadnezzar looks down in there, he sees four people down in there, not three. You see, God will not abandon you, whether you're in the fire, whether you're in a prison cell. He will not abandon you. If your spouse has abandoned you, he will not abandon you. If your job has abandoned you, he is with you through thick and thin. So let me end this message on a positive note. How about that? We like positive better than negative, don't we? And so let me take you to the book of John. And it says here in chapter 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. See, abiding is the opposite of abandoning. Verse number 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. There's a lot of people that I know that they want the asking, they want the receiving, but they don't want the abiding. And I want you to know that the asking and the receiving is contingent. It is the prerequisite for that aspect is for you and I to abide in him and his words to abide in us. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Today, I want to encourage you to look at your situation and see if you are abiding or if there's something that you have abandoned. Don't give up on the house of God. Don't abandon it. Don't abandon your job just because you get frustrated. In the NIV, it talks about the day that Jacob left Laban, and it said he deceived Laban by not telling him what he was doing. If you're thinking about making a change, you need to talk about somebody. Do it in a godly way, not in an ungodly way. Let's be an abider, not an Ishbak who just leaves and abandons. Let's be people who stick to our commitments and be people of our word. Let's abide in Jesus, in his word and his love. Father, I just pray right now in the name of the Lord that today you would raise us up as covenant people, people who do not abandon their post, but people who stick around, people who love one another, people who are in it for the long haul, people who are in it because of covenant, not because of convenience. God, I pray that if anybody is dealing with the hurt of rejection and abandonment, that you would lavish your healing upon them right now in Jesus' name. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.